The choices that we make in life will show others what we deem to be important in our lives. For example, we work because we need to provide for ourselves and others entrusted to our care. No legitimate job is insignificant. I know that during this pandemic, we have deemed some jobs to be essential because they are on the front lines of fighting this pandemic, but no job is insignificant. Each job contributes to the building up of society. Another example is repenting of sin. We are turning away from something or a situation that is not worthy of centering our lives upon. It is dangerous to our temporal and eternal existence. Yet we can become frustrated with repeating the same sinful attitudes and actions, even after we had said that we are sorry of them and made a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. And even at that time of frustration, there are choices that can be made. Unfortunately, some make the choice to become cynical, thinking that we have been set up somehow with commands that seem to be impossible to follow. Another unfortunate choice is to become complacent about it all, giving up with the attempt to change. However, these choices are not what we have learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the gospel reading, the apostles show that they continue to ignore, or they have forgotten, the teaching of Christ about aspiring to greatness from a godly perspective. Four Sundays ago, in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we heard Jesus offer a lesson that is repeated this Sunday in the 10th chapter of the same gospel. The good news is that Jesus never gives up on us, even if we are beset by thinking the same sinful attitudes and doing the same sinful actions. We heard in the epistle of the Hebrews that we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sympathetic towards us as we deal with our weaknesses, but we should never take that sympathy for granted as an excuse to continue in our weaknesses. He is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, praying, as we did at the beginning of Holy Mass, to conform our wills to God's will, to serve our God with sincerity of heart. So Jesus has not given up on his apostles, even though they forgot the lesson. He continues to teach us that it is possible to undergo conversion. Moments of conversion happen after we take a reality check about our lives. What matters to us, and why does it matter to us? It's fine to have ambitions in life, but they must be underneath the prime ambition of the Christian to allow the teaching of Christ to influence his or her thoughts, words, and actions. The apostles and brothers, James and John, were motivated by selfish ambition. They said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Now, we heard again in the epistle to the Hebrews that we should come to God and pray with confidence, presenting our needs and even our wants, and to trust that in his mercy, God will provide help, timely help. But we pray with the understanding that we want God's will to be done, and however he chooses to answer is for our true and lasting good. But that's not the disposition of James and John. They were not concerned about their true and lasting good. They were concerned about a temporary good that they thought was good. And they told Jesus, "We want you to do whatever we ask of you." Selfish ambition doesn't tell Jesus, "You only do what we ask of you. Otherwise, we're not going to follow you." The posture of a disciple of Christ is to follow in his footsteps in response to his call to allow his values to influence what we aspire to, what we want, what we need. James and John wanted positions of honor and power as the world as they knew it defined those concepts. The other apostles were upset because they thought they were at a disadvantage in the competition that the Lord thought he had ended in the previous chapter of the Gospel of Mark. But to aspire to be a follower of Christ within his church means to do whatever he asks us to do, to follow in his direction. And as Jesus approaches Jerusalem and accepts his cross, he says to the apostles, "Are you prepared to be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I'm about to overcome?" That is the baptism he's talking about. "Are you prepared to drink from the cup of suffering that I'm about to drink?" For Jesus will say, on the night in which he is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Lord, Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass by me, but not my will, but your will be done." So that is why Jesus said, before he went to Jerusalem, "For the Son of Man," referring to himself, "did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And "for many" is a phrase that basically means for all. Here's Jesus. Here are the many, all the rest of us. If the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the all-powerful God, uses his power to share in our humanity in all things but sin, to be a servant of humanity, to heal the wounds of sin and division, certainly those who say that they are Christians are called to be servants in his name, contributing to his mission according to our distinctive vocations. Those who are invested with leadership have influence over others. And that's why we heard several Sundays ago in which Jesus said, "Whoever uses their position of influence to scandalize the vulnerable will pay a very severe price." Jesus teaches now that power is given as a service for others, whether it's exercised in the church, in the parish, among family and friends, in the workplace or school, wherever. To act otherwise is self-serving. It leads us away from the direction that the Lord is showing us to go by his teaching and example. The apostolic leadership of the church, continued in the ministry of the bishops, is entrusted with the service of ensuring that we will remain faithful to the teaching of Christ that he handed on to his first apostles. After the Lord's resurrection, James, John, and the other apostles, except Judas, had the right understanding of being a servant, and they were not afraid to preach the gospel, to practice their faith, even though it meant certain persecution and death. Similarly, motivated by love for the persons entrusted to their care, parents are given the responsibility of leadership over their children. They will make sacrifices that are important to provide for their needs, including raising them in the practice of the faith. And that is why grandparents and uncles and nieces are to gently, uncles and aunts rather, are to gently encourage parents to fulfill their responsibilities. One may not have what others would consider to be a leadership position, but every person has a position of influence within their circle of relationships. And we can use our influence to exploit another person, making them entertaining figures on the stage of our lives for our amusement, or we can use our influence to enhance their lives, helping them to appreciate whom God has made them to be and what God has given them the power to do, and not to get in the way of that. Before the Lord's resurrection, each apostle was calculating how they could be seen as the greatest among them. They were modeling themselves on the Gentile rulers who exercised in a self-serving way. Our primary ambition as followers of Christ within His church is to be at the service of God. When we acknowledge the power of our Creator, we will appreciate our worth and dignity before God, and at the service of others in the name of God, we help people to appreciate the same. When we acknowledge the power of God's love for us, we will want to live in communion with Him and trust in His commandments. And in our service to others in the name of God, we help others to appreciate God's love for them and to do the same. When we acknowledge the power of God's mercy, we will accept the forgiveness of our sins and renew our trust in these disciplines that the Lord has given to us. And then in our service to others in the name of God, we will serve as instruments of the Lord's mercy, helping people to appreciate that they too can be forgiven of their sins. They too can begin to walk in a new way. I invite us to pray about this week. What matters to us in life, and why does it matter? Look at the choices we make in life, and does it really reflect our desire to be ambitious from a godly perspective? We may admire people who are deemed to be great, and they may be great, and they are noted in the history books. But what is most important in life is not to have our name in a history book, but to have our names in the book of life, trusting that what God has called us to go into is the right direction, and that we are ambitious in letting no one deter us on the path in which the Lord leads us.